Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at Stewart-Peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of June, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulow at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll take up the weather forecast with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey, Prairie Research Institute, and take a look at the cash grain market with Andy Schaefer out at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. If you want to hear about better corn, I suspect he'll be able to tell us about better weather in their part of the world and what that means to the basis there and maybe in the grand scheme of commodity marketing. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for the grains and oil seeds for the afternoon. July contract in the soft red winter wheat up 30 and a quarter. Settlement price at $5.62 and a quarter. The hard red July at $5.59 and a quarter, up 24 cents. Corn futures, after moving a bit lower, rallied back to finish 8.5 higher at $3.85. December at $4.02, up 9.75. And next year's July at $4.24 and a quarter, 8.5 higher on the day. I should say a bit lower than where they were on the gains, that is. July beans are up a penny and three quarters as they closed out the day at 10.02. They're high by the day at 10.24.5. The September at 9.89.5, up 10 and a quarter. And November beans at $9.86, 8.25 higher. They went all the way to $10.02 on the high. The bottom there at 9.73.75. January 9.91.25, up 8.25. And the July of next year at 9.84.75. And the soybean pit up 2.75. Bean meal at 3.41.30, up 4.60. Bean oil for the day at 33.22, down 14. Live cattle futures a dime lower to 148.40. Feeder cattle at 217.17.5, down $1.87.5 for the day. And the lean hogs finished the July contract at $75.45 per 100 pounds. They were 80 cents higher than in the July. August at 77.5. We're up 62.5. We'll have more on the Hogs and Pigs report when we talk with Mike Zuzulow in just a couple of minutes. That, of course, was released right at the top of the hour, 2 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. You're listening to WILL and willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
The outside market show us crude oil at $59.57 a barrel at this hour. That's down 13 cents. RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $2.07. About a penny lower, rather penny higher for the day. Ethanol futures at $1.57.09, up 3.6. Natural gas, $2.77.03, 7.7 lower. Diesel fuel at $1.86.02, just about unchanged. Gold futures up $1.40 at the end of the day, $1,172.90. And the U.S. dollar at 95.461. That's up 0.274 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Tonight, showers, possibly a thunderstorm before 11 in the evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 11 and 1 a.m., and then a chance of showers after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 60 degrees tonight on a north-northeast wind that'll travel about 13 to 17 gusts all the way to 20 overnight. Chance of rainfall in the Urbana-Champaign area set at 70%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies on the way to 77 degrees. North winds at 14 to 17, gusting to 20. And Saturday night, clear, a low of 56. Northwest winds again at 5 to 10. They'll turn out of the west by midnight and bring us sunny skies on Sunday with a high of 78 degrees with a west wind at 5 to 11. Sunday night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 63. That will continue into Monday when we'll top out at 78 degrees, and Monday night, cloudy with a low of 62. More on the weather forecast with Jim Angel a bit later.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It is the 26th day of June, 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Mike Zuzlow at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, thanks for being with us. I know that USDA released a set of numbers on the hogs and pigs. It's an important feed number for the folks that are producing corn and soybeans. What did it tell you?
No shortage of demand in the near term for corn, Todd. The all hogs and pigs June 1, 109%. That's the very top of the trade estimates. Kept for breeding, 101%. Very bottom, actually a little bit below the lowest trade guess. And then kept for marketings at 109% at the top end of the estimates and the very just a little bit above the average, but the range was very, very tight. So biggest numbers are hitting us now, it would seem. Hog producers are listening to the market signals that they've been hearing and getting the last several months because June to August farrowings came in at 97%, September to November farrowings 96% of last year. So we're seeing a pullback in terms of wanting to farrow, and that kept for breeding number was on the below the lowest trade guess as well. Marketings, I don't want to spin it too positively, but marketings, I think, is a welcome bright spot at 109% and being just above the average trade guess. We're not backing up any hogs, and I think the market has been fearful of the hog market being backed up a little bit and losing too much demand to the beef sector. So this report says, no, that's not happening.
Did I make note somewhere that these hogs that are going to market actually are coming in a bit lighter as well?
Yeah, they are, and I think that makes perfect sense from a standpoint of guys having bigger numbers and wanting to stay very current because the price just isn't there for them to add more and essentially get docked more at the packer or the processor on heavy hogs. If you have $90 hogs, then you'll add weight, but not at $70.
All right, let's turn our attention directly to the grains and the oilseeds. An interesting day in Chicago. How did it unfold?
Well, the midday weather models came in much wetter for the Midwest, and, you know, it's really kind of getting tragic at this point. From Champaign to Muncie, Indiana, so essentially from western central Illinois all the way to eastern Indiana, western Ohio, you're talking about a strip of 4 to 5 inches of rain, 4 inches of that by next Wednesday, with highs no better than the upper 60s. By the time we get to the middle of next week. And so those wetter weather models did not produce, however, new highs in the corn and beans. It did in the wheat, but not in the corn and beans. So as a result of that, we saw some liquidation in the July beans. Beans essentially pulled the whole market back down or kept it from making new highs.
Liquidation, do you mean profit-taking?
You know, we've got two big things coming up here. We've got the delivery process starting on the 30th, and we've also got this stocks report. And I'm wondering that, you know, because of option expiration today, maybe part of this feature with the July beans going back down to around $10 was part of the option expiration, Todd. But I'm wondering whether we're not going back to a carrying charge market, in other words, July falling to the November, because of potentially big deliverable stocks and also because of the stocks report coming out. So that's something to really watch because we're only about 3 to 4 cents away from July going below the next new lead month contract of August. And so
yeah,
that could be what's happening here.
Oh, so that would be, well, that'd be different. And then, of course, there is the rest of the way out, there's no carry charge in the rest of the way out, right?
That's exactly right. And I think this is where, is this a short-term phenomenon because of the options, or is this something that the trade is starting to, in the commercials, starting to talk about? And it brings up a point that Wayne made yesterday afternoon on Commodity Week when we taped it about, you know, how cheap South American product is and why would anybody be coming to us for meal at this stage to crush. And this is something that's going to have to be worked out. It goes back to what we talked about this morning.
Right.
You really want the demand side on your side, not just weather, not just supply.
Yeah, so at the moment, supply side looks like it may be constrained. We'll have to wait through the rest of the season to really figure that out. And see what USDA has to say next week, of course, about acreage. But just as producers are starting to feel a little friendly to the marketplace, there's always something that comes back.
Yeah, and see, this is the thing. You've got right now on us, we've got the Greece outcome
right.
of whether they get a deal over the weekend. You've got the weather maps heading into Monday's trade. You've got the crop conditions Monday afternoon. And then you've got the acreage and stocks reaction on Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, those four things are probably going to dictate, well, they're not going to probably dictate, they're going to dictate whether I assess whether I need to pull off more hedges from where I'm at right now or whether I get back on the hedging bandwagon. And I've tested the waters today on the phone with several clients, and if they are in Illinois, in Indiana, they are in no mood to talk about hedging more right now, especially with
not.
The weather.
Is that because they don't know whether they have it? Or
Yes. I think what I'm trying to do is do what we're doing together, is educate on Greece and the demand side and say, just remember how the funds operate nowadays. And they're coming back and saying, but how can I hedge if I don't have it? Hey, you can't argue that psychology.
Yeah, so we'll learn a bit more in this broadcast a bit later. We'll talk with Andy Schaefer out at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. When I talked to Sue Martin over the noon hour today, she said their crop, she's there in Webster City. That's not too far away from Des Moines and Ames. Everly's way further north than that, a couple hours more north. She said their crop looks good, but if you go, of course, south of Des Moines, things are begin to fall apart fairly quickly. So
yeah, and I talked to one of your colleagues out at KRVN in Lexington, Nebraska, and I said, I'm hearing everything's looking really good out there, and he said, it's looking beautiful. In fact, we're probably going to put the irrigators on out here next week. So that hotter, drier weather is, you know, like we talked about on Commodity Week, really making most of the Western Corn Belt crop look good. Our corn looks a lot better here because we've had a couple hundred-degree days and dried out a bit.
Yeah, so, but it's still, that only deals with the corn crop, and the supply for soybeans, it looks like it's a whole different matter, potentially.
It is, and this is where it gets really sticky, because if Greece doesn't go well and the dollar goes back as a safe haven and China has a financial market collapse, I mean, you're talking about a Chinese stock market that's off about 20% from its highs made last month, and you know, not just financial analysts are saying that there's a bubble in the Chinese market. Even the Dallas Fed talked about it in their international update. So it really calls into question the demand side for soy when it comes to China. And that's what's so tough about this market right now, is the supply versus the demand.
All right. So,
I've worn you out, Todd.
No. you have not worn me out. I'm just trying to put this all into perspective. And sometimes I try not to look out the back door.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing again, and I have to remind myself that I can only not look out the back door. I just can't, for soybeans, look across the Midwest and say, well, that's one thing, because this is an international crop with a second crop that's, you know, just been harvested and one that'll be planted not too far away again in South America. So I'm trying to balance all that out with the supply that we may have, with the numbers and the acreage that we may have from USDA and what that might mean.
Well, and let me try and clarify a little bit here. The banker wants a floor underneath you. If you're under leverage, you need a floor underneath you this year. You still need that because you can't tolerate the prices we just came off of. I think number two, if you didn't take the harvest price exclusion on crop insurance, if you have lower yields and a higher price, you're going to be looking a lot better than maybe you're thinking about right now. At least that's what some of the U of I stuff on the FarmDoc software would suggest to me. And so I think these are the two starting points, is yes, you don't want to oversell your crop. You don't want to get into too many unlimited risk positions. But you do want to satisfy the need to secure your financial lending for next year. And that's really at the top end of your list right now.
Anything else that we ought to take up before I let you go for the day?
I'm not a big believer that the cattle market is all over with. I think we've had a lot more fun spreading here of buying back the corn and selling out of the feeder contracts. So I'm going to give the feeder cattle and the fat cattle another couple weeks to digest this corn market rally and see if we don't get back above the 150 level in fat cattle, and then can maybe get another $5 or $8 higher than that.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
That, of course, is Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. In today's agricultural news, in a 286 to 138 vote, the U.S. House on Thursday passed trade adjustment assistance, clearing the way for Trade Promotion Authority. President Obama had said he would not sign the TPA bill without TAA. The bills did not survive the legislative process as a package, but TPA was passed as a standalone bill while TAA was attached to another popular trade bill. The TPA and TAA bills are now on their way to the president's desk. The Hill reports President Obama applauded Congress for passage of the bills, which he says are vital to his second-term agenda, largely focusing on completing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Obama said he would sign the bills as soon as they reached his desk. Elsewhere in Washington, D.C., the Environmental Protection Agency is forging ahead on implementing the Waters of the U.S. rule, that's referred to as WOTUS, which was finalized back in May. Colin Woodall, Vice President of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C., says his agency, NCBA, and others are preparing a lawsuit against EPA to stop implementation.
We have looked at every option we have available to us to try to stop this new Waters United States rule that EPA has made final. And we've looked at not only congressional action, but legal action. And so we are in the process of putting together a lawsuit that will be filed shortly. We're going to be one of among several plaintiffs that include groups like the American Farm Bureau Federation, National Association of Home Builders, National Mining Association, American Petroleum Institute, to try to force this fight into the courts to show that EPA has gone beyond their jurisdiction. And on top of that, has violated a lot of the Administrative Procedures Act rules in trying to put this particular proposed rule forward and making it final. So we think that it's going to be one of a couple of opportunities we still have to try to kill this outright.
Woodall says the plaintiffs thus far cover a broad spectrum of businesses that will be affected by WOTUS.
We have groups from across the spectrum of land users, and that was intentional to make sure that we show the court and also EPA that this is not just an agricultural issue, this is not just a county issue or a home builder's issue. This is an issue for anybody who manages, owns, leases, or operates on a parcel of land. It's going to have an impact on you, period. And that was our goal of trying to get as many plaintiffs as possible to join us to show that strength and that overall concern.
And Woodall says they are consulting to add plaintiffs to the lawsuit. As to where the suit will be filed, Woodall says that's still an open question.
You know, we're still looking at that right now. That has not been determined, and that's still some of the decisions that we still have to make before everything is executed. But we are looking at all the venues that would be available to us.
The goal, says Woodall, is to get the lawsuit filed in time to stop the implementation of the rule.
The whole point of pursuing this action, along with the action that we are pursuing in Congress, is to make sure that this is never implemented, because people need to understand that this is going to change the face of farming and ranching and all land use in this country, regardless of what the administrator says. You know, she has come out multiple times and has said that this is not going to impact agriculture, that it's not going to impact anybody who hasn't already had to get a permit in the past, but we are finding example after example of where that doesn't seem to be the case. In fact, some of our members in Iowa just this past week were at a meeting with EPA where they were looking at some in-ground stock tanks that were running around because of recent rainfall, and they were told that that would be a Water of the United States, and that is a body of water found on just about every ag operation in this country. So that already shows that the administrator has not been forthcoming with what's truly going to happen with implementation of this rule.
And keep it tied up in the courts for as long as it takes. Woodall also says a potential part of the suit is the alleged lobbying efforts on the part of EPA to skew the comments in favor of WOTUS.
We haven't made that final decision yet, but that has already come into play with the action on Capitol Hill and members of Congress being very concerned about the lobbying that EPA did as an agency to try to get comments and letters of support done for their side. That is unprecedented by a federal agency. This is supposed to be an open rulemaking to all stakeholders and not a situation where an agency goes out and actively recruits people to try to support the position that they have. That's where we think that's a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act. Definitely know that with over a million comments received on this particular rule, that there were a lot of people interested in it. Now we have to ask ourselves how many of them were truly interested versus those that were just doing this at the behest of the EPA.
That's Colin Woodall, Vice President of Government Affairs for NCPA. in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Now let's get an update of the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. June so far has been 0.7 degrees above average and very wet. In fact, it is the second wettest June on record and is likely to move into first place before the end of the month. The statewide average rainfall for the month to date is 8.12 inches compared to a monthly average of 4.2 inches. There are only a few places with less than 6 inches of rain and many areas with more than 10 inches of rain. Obviously, all this rain has led to widespread flooding on rivers and streams, including the Illinois and Mississippi rivers, and it's causing crop damage in low-lying areas. This is not just Illinois. Heavy rains have fallen across Missouri, southeastern Iowa, and over into Indiana and Ohio. Will the heavy rains continue? According to the forecast models, it will. Rain is in the forecast pretty much every day for the next week. Potential rainfall amounts could be in the 1 to 3 inch range over the next 7 days. Temperatures will be mild by late June standards. Highs will be in the 70s over the weekend, and during next week they will range from the upper 70s in the north to the low to mid 80s in the south. Overnight lows will be in the upper 50s and low 60s. Looking farther out into the next weekend and beyond, temperatures are expected to remain below average while rainfall remains above average. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks, of course, to Jim Angel for his updates of the weather forecast here on WILLAG.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check again the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. And this evening, we'll see rainfall, of course, 90% chance this afternoon, 70% chance this evening. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 77, Saturday night clear and 56, and on Sunday, sunny and 78, Sunday night, a 50% chance of rainfall and about 63 degrees. And then Monday to start the work week, again, a 50% chance of rainfall and 78. And we'll begin to clear out Monday, cloudy, but on the evening, 62. Sunny skies on Tuesday, high of 81. Wednesday, more showers, thunderstorms, and 79. And as we go through the week, we get on and off with a weather forecast that brings us rain. On the phone line at this time, Andy Schaefer should join us from the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. Thanks, Andy, for being with us. If I get lucky. Well, Andy was on the phone when I called, so he's probably pretty busy out there. We'll continue to take a look at a couple of other items in the outside markets. Just a reminder what happened and is happening there. Crude oil at $59.56 a barrel is down 14 cents at this hour, and the price of RBOB gasoline or wholesale at $2.06 is a penny lower, rather a penny higher for the day. You, of course, can hear our programming anytime you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There we post all of our programming not long after it airs on our radio stations.